93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
Always a pleasure, Mondays and Fridays. Brother Johnny today from Houston, Texas. Johnny.
Hello, Stevie J.
Mike Ditka, ESPN Connecticut. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Thank you.
All right, we begin with the biggest story probably in the nation, and that is the Chicago teachers' strike. We begin with Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
And because of how close we are, it is a strike that is unnecessary. I am disappointed that we have come to this point, given that even all the other parties acknowledge how close we are.
Since they were concerned about the fact that we exercised our ability last year to withdraw the 4% raise, we said we will take that clause out of this contract so that, in effect, this compensation agreement is guaranteed to them.
We obviously have to be there with uniform presence to ensure their safety and protect their rights to express their First Amendment right to speech while at the same time preserving order.
We have to take turns. We just have to work out like we did for the summer. Someone go to work and the other one comes in and we just do what we got to do.
Well, I don't know. I'm about to, you know, just try to play video games.
And we ask all of you to join us in our education justice fight for a fair contract and call on the mayor and CEO Broussard to settle this matter now. And until there is one in place that our members will accept, we will be on the line. We will walk the picket lines. We will talk to parents. We will talk to clergy. We will demand a fair contract today. We demand a fair contract now.
What a disaster, Mike Ditka, in Chicago. It's a mess, huh?
Well, you got amateurs trying to handle a tough situation. It's not going to work. And you got an amateur as the mayor of Chicago. There's no question about that. I don't know that I could put that much more clearly, but you can't compromise education, guys. And these people, they deserve it. They spend a lot of their life educating kids. That's the thing they chose to do in life. They want to be educators. They want to be teachers. They want to help. So therefore, they have to be rewarded for that positively. And it would have been, another union, I think, that probably the city probably would have found a better way to deal with it. But because they didn't deal with this properly, they're going to have a lot of problems. And this comes down to the mayor, too. There should be some communication there, evidently, that he's not using.
Well, it's too bad because, of course, the kids are kind of... Kind of the collateral damage on it. And, it's always tough when you talk about striking as a teacher because, of course, most teachers don't do it for the money anyway, Steve. But on the other hand, you have to pay your bill. So I don't know the issues either, Mike, so I can't
Certainly, we're talking about what happens to teachers in schools that are shut down. They want to rehire those teachers. There's a pay question, and certainly – a couple of other ones, I guess, when it comes down to pay, I don't know. First of all, again, I don't know what they make, $40,000, $50,000. They don't make a lot of money, as you say, but yet what do you do with $400,000? I thought it was very indicative of our times when it said 140 schools will be open anyway today just to feed the kids. What does that say about our society? What does it say about our Chicago school system if they don't have people to feed their kids?
Well, and then you have to have a lot of people involved in that. If you're going to have the kids there to eat, that just has half your staff already over there, and then the teachers aren't teaching. So it's a pretty inefficient approach. That's one thing it says. We're not very efficient. So.
And what do you do when you run out of money? I mean, when a system runs out of money, what are you supposed to do with that, Mike?
Well, what they do in Chicago, it's very simple. They just put another tax on you.
Yeah.
It's not too complicated. Come on. You can find ways to do everything, you know. If you can find ways to fix the roads, you can find ways to, try to run a budget. You can put enough money in there for the teachers. Now, I don't know what their demands are totally or not. I heard what you said, but, I don't know that there's anything outrageous about the demands. I think that this is something, though, again, we have two sides to it, so there's got to be some type of compromise somewhere where you come to a happy agreement or a happy meeting where you can go on and teach these kids. I think, to have these kids not getting an education right now, it's crazy. You go into some of the inner city areas of Chicago, the crime rate is unbelievable. People are killing each other for nothing. So, maybe education would help some of this. I'm not saying it would help all of it, but it might help some of it.
Well, it's just the whole system, Steve, and it's just a pretty large scale when you talk about the city of Chicago. So I'm hoping they come to some kind of an agreement. But on the other hand, too, Steve, how much more money is Illinois? I thought Illinois was about broke anyway, holding out for more money, I don't know where it's going to come from. You know, and we just raised taxes across the board.
So if it's not broke, by the time Quinn's done, it'll be broke.
All right, 739, the jobs numbers came out on Friday. The real number, if you put all of the folks that quit looking into the total, is 11.4% unemployed. The number is 8.1 officially. Austin Goolsbee is the president's man, followed by Mitt Romney's comment.
You never want to take 1 month's report. If you look over the last year, the unemployment rate is down a full percentage point, and most of that is from people getting new jobs. It's not from a reduction in the labor force.
There's no question in my mind, if President Obama is reelected, you're not going to see our unemployment picture change dramatically. You're not going to see us create the jobs we need to create or the rising incomes people need.
Is Mitt Romney right, Johnny?
Boy, I think he probably is. I would certainly try see if Romney can do any better, but there's just a kind of a wait-and-see attitude. I think the Congress is hurting us because we don't have any sort of a plan, and of course, the president's supposed to try to get those guys to do something, and of course, he can't even get them to pass a budget, which we've talked about, so I wouldn't keep doing the same thing. Will it get better with Romney? Hope so, but I don't know. But I don't think Obama's going to do anything that's going to make any difference. I don't think he's going to change anything that I could hear. So,
well, to have a plan, you have to have a leader. You have no leader, so I mean, you don't have a plan because and you're right. We have to get Congress on board. I mean, there's got to be some give and take, guys. But you got to do something positive. Right now, we the only thing he's trying to do is split a country into classes, you know, the middle class, the upper class, the lower class. I mean, it's after a while it gets appalling if you understand that we're one nation under God, and so we can't even say God in things anymore. These people, they're funny. I mean, I tell you, they're real yokels.
Well, Steve, too, the class warfare thing is pretty clearly just a way to try to get votes, and it's a political strategy, but that's not going to help solve the problem. I did go see the movie 2016.
Hey, what did you think of that?
Well, that's a very interesting movie, and of course, it was basically made by an Indian American from India who is also the same age as Barack Obama, and I think they got married the same year. Pretty much, he understands the perspective Barack Obama has, which I don't think a lot of Americans really know much about him. Well, he's a guy that kind of is from America, but he's also from Indonesia, and he's from Kenya, and he's definitely an anti-colonialist. The thing I took away from the movie, which was a little alarming, is that he absolutely doesn't believe in the concept of American supremacy. He doesn't think we should be interfering. We should step back. I don't know how he's interpreted the shape of the world and comes to that conclusion, because I don't know what shape the world would be in without American influence. And I think as we pulled our influence out of the Middle East, I think we can see it's kind of crumbling. And I don't agree that we shouldn't exert influence and maintain a superpower status as long as we're able to do it, Mike. I wouldn't concede that just because...
So you're talking about Denise D'Souza, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, I watched the whole interview on C-SPAN yesterday. Man's brilliant. And what he says, people should listen to. I mean, what he says, people should listen to. Now, there's no question he's anti-Obama. But he saw the things you said. You're right. Exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to diminish the power of America in the world, in the eyes of the world. He's trying to, he considered America, the USA, the bully on the block to a degree. And this is what he's trying to change. It's really incredible if you listen to the man talk. And it's not like he's just pulling his stuff out because he's doesn't like Obama. These are all facts. He went on to the birth certificate. He went on to things about his mother, about his father. It was incredible.
But well, I thought it was
not
good
in the media.
What, Mike, he went to Hawaii, he went to Indonesia,
no,
he went
everywhere.
To Kenya. And he
everywhere.
Talked to all the people he could find that actually knew a little bit about Barack Obama. Really just, I didn't think that it was an anti-Obama piece. I thought it showed a very interesting man who definitely has affiliation with the whole world as opposed to the country, which you could say is good. I would not recommend him as president because I think he's conflicted. And I think that we need to push for American greatness. That's just the best you can do. You want to do your best. You don't want to do any sandbags.
Well, and that's right. It's right. And if you don't believe in that, then you should go try to run another country. Go to Libya or somewhere else. I mean, Nigeria, whatever you want to do. But, you know, the American way has worked for a couple hundred years, and it'll continue to work if we have great Americans leading us and guiding us, people who believe in the system. Here's a man who doesn't believe in the system that wants to change the system. So it becomes problematic for me to say, okay, he's a good guy. Well, he might be a good guy to have a Coke with, but I'm telling you what, he's not a good guy when it comes to leadership of the greatest country in the world.
All right, we know that there are people with diverse opinions in this country that probably you could get arguments for socialism, communism, what? There's tons of people and factions. If people truly understood and believed that he was anti-colonialism and really not for our way in America, how many would still support him, Johnny?
I think that the majority of America would probably not agree with Obama's worldview and probably not want his vision for America. I would say a pretty strong majority of people. I would say many of those don't know anything about where he's really from or some of the subtleties. You know, this is high-level geopolitical strategy, politics, and philosophy, and I don't think many Americans get that deep into it, Steve.
Yeah, right.
But well, you know, guys, it's just like, well, I mean, you say how many, I don't know, but, you know, it's like they did this thing at the, and I didn't watch anything in the DNC, but I did see the one thing where they're going to take God out of something, and the A's and the N's. Did you see that?
Yeah, right.
The A's and the, it was incredible, because the N's were louder than the A's.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Something I didn't know.
About
a bunch of what a cahooties. They're crazy.
One thing I didn't know that kind of is very much in line, and I thought this is an interesting documentary because it puts things in perspective, explains a lot of things about the way Obama acts and what decisions he makes. And it really, the man is extremely consistent, and he's extremely smart. I'm talking about our president, Barack Obama. He's dismantling a lot of our nuclear arsenal, which I don't have a major problem with to some degree, but he's taking it down to 1,500, and he wants to take it down to nothing. And he wants to do it whether or not anyone else does it. That's crazy.
Well,
that's just insane.
So those of us who believe peace through strength, this isn't what he believes.
He does not believe that I can see.
No.
I don't believe he thinks that. I think he thinks being a bully, we're kind of stirring everybody up. And he's lived in these places. He does see the perspective of the rich West kind of pillaging the poor countries and taking the wealth for themselves. You know, there's a grain of truth to that, but on the other hand, I think we're also developing and offering opportunities, not just in our countries, but in theirs as well.
Well, what happens 4 more years of this philosophy, do you think?
Well, and that's what the movie kind of predicts it, and I think he will succeed in diminishing American influence, and one of the reasons we're going to be less influential is because we're spending all our money, which is kind of one of the things. You know, you could say the health care plan wasn't as much to help to save 30 million people who don't have health insurance, which they probably had some sort of coverage anyway, but to break us. I mean, we can't afford it.
Mm.
He didn't turn a $1 trillion stimulus over to Reid and Pelosi because he didn't think they would blow it beyond our wildest dreams. He did it because he knew that's exactly what they do, and we're running out of money. So that's one thing that's going to change America, Mike, is our financial position.
Well, but people don't look at that when they're voting. They're looking at this man, the color of his skin. He's a smooth talker. No one, they don't understand his $1 trillion, what he's done since he's taken over 4 years ago, what it'll be in 8 years. I mean, nobody understands this. I mean, these people voting, all they see is this guy walking up there doing all the cute things and saying all the things and knocking the Republicans for this or that or Romney for this. We're not showing his taxes. Well, we got a guy who won't show his birth certificate. I mean, I'm not sure I really understand our media who doesn't hold everybody accountable the same way.
But I think there is a point. I'm not going to say Barack Obama's anti-American by any means. I think he's grateful for the opportunity he has. I think his opinion is that we just need to spread the wealth. And when he talks about spreading the wealth, Steve, he's not talking about spreading it from me and you to people in Arkansas or the state of Washington. He's talking about the U.S.'s wealth to Kenya and to Indonesia and to places that need it. That's a very noble goal. I think we'd love to have more equanimity, but it's not going to work. And I
but
think
John, nobody shares their wealth with the world more than
more
the United
than we
States
do now.
Now.
That's exactly
nobody
right.
helps people in Kenya more than the United States or Nigeria or anywhere else. Without us, they would have no chance. So, I mean, when you're saying that, I understand what you're saying. It's not, he wants, it's more than sharing the wealth. He wants to diminish the power of America in the world, period.
And the thing about it is the irony, Mike, is if the United States of America does diminish and kind of pulls off the world stage, there'll be more injustice, pain, and suffering.
Yeah.
Which absolutely,
is the complaint
absolutely.
Of the people who attack America.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. We're down to our final 6 minutes of show. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to talk a little football. Mike will be on ESPN tonight. There are two games tonight on ESPN. It's doubleheader football time. All right, Mike, what was your observations from week one in the NFL?
First observation, I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, I'll tell you one thing, guys. You got to understand, San Francisco's for real. They're for real. I was really, RG3 is the real deal, as they saw in New Orleans. And, of course, I don't know. People keep going around and saying, well, coaches don't matter. Evidently, they do matter. They do matter. When you don't have your head coach, you have a problem. And that was that showed, not only with the fact that the Saints played horrible defense, John, but I thought the offense was so sort of kind of out of whack.
Mm. It was crippling along is what I would say.
Yeah,
and Mike, you're 100%.
Well, you know, you saw a lot of things. I think everybody forgot about the Wednesday night game, Dallas went in and beat the world champions, guys.
Yeah.
You look at what New England did. New England's pretty good football. They've improved the defensive side of the football. You look at Tampa Bay. Hey, they look like the big bully on the block. I mean, they came out and punched the people in the face. I mean, and what they did to Carolina. So, you know, you start looking around the league, there were some good things. The Bears, you got to get, hey, you know, the Bears hadn't put that kind of offensive firepower up in a long time. And Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall and what they're doing, if they can continue that and with the special teams and defense they have, this is going to be a team you got to reckon with, believe me.
But, Mike, you got to admit, the Jaguars looked okay, I'm telling you. The Jaguars
I'm not knocking the Jaguars. I'm not knocking the Jaguars at all. I just say I'm looking at different football teams out there. You're asking me, you know, you got – the team in the Central Division, the best team, the Packers are 0-1. The other three teams are 1-0, Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago. Now, it's only one game, guys, and I understand that. You know, look at Philadelphia. They win a football game. The quarterback throws four interceptions. The only way they could have won that game is because they're playing against Brandon Reed, who threw four interceptions, period. Or Cleveland would have beat them. At the end of the game, Cleveland got a chance to beat them, and the kid drops the ball. So I'm just saying, when you look around, you're saying, well, is this team good or that team? I don't know who's good or who's bad, but I know when I look at football teams like Dallas, they're improved. New England, they're still the same. San Francisco, they're the real deal. Tampa Bay, they did a great job of improving. Chicago, they're a better football team. So, you know, you got to look at the Houston Texans, I think are for real. I really do. So, you know, when you start looking at this, hey, that's what I think anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, you're right, Mike. No doubt about it. I actually didn't think Peyton being out for a year would necessarily.
And John, I forgot Denver.
Well, yeah, Peyton Manning. Oh, there you go. But
you
know, Sean Payton losing him for the year, that might be a lot more serious than I thought. We might have a long season in New Orleans. I don't know.
Bringing back the other Peyton to the Manning. I forgot that. But you're talking about probably one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the league, and he proved it. Why? He proved why yesterday against a defense that was supposed to kick his butt, and he didn't let him kick his butt because he didn't give them a chance to get set on the defensive side of the ball because they went with that no huddle, that quick thing. I mean, the guy is a master at what he does, and if he can stay healthy, you got to watch out for the Denver Broncos.
Boy, that was fun to watch, too, and it was great to see him like that. And he looked pretty strong to me, Stevie.
Yeah.
Pretty fit to me, yeah.
Amazing. I'll tell you what, though. I'll take San Francisco and give you guys the rest of the field. I've already
done that, so you can't do that.
I tell you what, not only are they terrific, but they look hungry. They look really hungry to me.
Well, I said one thing yesterday. I said, you know, last year they found the door and they knocked on it. This year they're going to kick it in.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know where their weakness is.
Well, you know, I think you want to say, you know, they had, everybody, all the extras will point out Alex Smith. Well, you watch Alex Smith.
Yeah.
All he does is he operates efficiently with what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. When's the last time you saw an offense punch up 11 guys on offense at the line of scrimmage and run the football like they did yesterday? And Green Bay knew they were running the football and couldn't stop it.
Yeah, all right. And so Monday Night Football doubleheader, that's just a one-week deal, right? You're not going to do two games every Monday, are you, Mike?
I don't think so. I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to make money. They got it on Wednesday night. They got it on Thursday, Sunday night.
Yeah.
Two on Sunday, two on Monday. Who knows?
I tell you, how good does Mike Ditka look on TV, Johnny?
Fantastic. Yeah. Keep it going, Mike. Well, what are the games, Stevie, tonight?
I think we've got
you got Baltimore, Cincinnati, you got
Raiders, Chargers.
Raiders,
Chargers. Yeah. Yeah, that should be, you know, it's amazing. I don't even care who's playing anymore. I just still like watching the football games.
But, you know, it's
something.
It's football season. I mean, I have to say this. It seems to rejuvenate everybody. I mean, man, there's something going on. And, I love baseball, too. I love all sports. But golf, I mean, McIlroy's win. Come on, guys.
Man, how about Rory McIlroy? Two times.
I mean, this is
unreal.
Wow, how good is that? I mean, when you start thinking about, we're not even talking about that. How good is Rory McIlroy?
Oh.
I mean, when you talk about the dominance of a Jack Nicklaus or an Arnold Palmer in their heyday, this guy is—he's playing against better competition now than there ever was, and he's doing pretty good.
Oh, two in a row. It's amazing. So the final 30, this will be for a $10 million check this weekend, Johnny. That's a pretty good chunk of change.
Johnny, that's chump change to you.
Well, look.
I don't know. My wealth's getting spread out.
Yeah.
Go spread out in a hurry.
Hey, listen, gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much. We'll call you Friday. Mike,
thanks
we'll
a lot,
watch
guys.
Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Take care.
Mike Ditka, brother Johnny.